Blog Talk Radio.
Once again, we're back with here with Blog Talk Radio. We are New Beginnings Ministries. We're here every Wednesday from 7 o'clock. Starting at 7 o'clock, we are interactive Bible study. Again, we are an interactive Bible study, and what does that mean? That means that we have a Bible study and we are interactive. You can call in and you can participate and be a part of this Blog Talk Radio Bible study. We would like to just let you know that you can call in if you are listening by internet. If you would like to be a part of this Blog Talk Radio, you can call in. The call-in number is 347-237-4054. 347-237-4054. That's 347-237-4054. As we go through this, we as getting ready to, we'd like to remind you or just let you know that those that call in, please be mindful that when you call in, please make sure that you mute your phone because we can hear everything. The microphones are piled up extremely high, and we can hear everything that's going on. So if you could be mindful while the speaker is talking or whoever may be on, please mute your mic, and when you're getting ready to share what the Lord has laid on your heart, then you can open up your mic. Amen? And therefore, we would all be on one accord. We're going to have prayer. After we have prayer, then we're going to open it up to our minister from New York, Minister Edna Hammond from out of New York. Father, we thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for the grace. We thank you for mercy. We thank you, Heavenly Father, because with you, we can do all things. Without you, we can do nothing. And Lord Father, I ask Heavenly Father, Lord, that you would just bless, that you would bless this time that we are sharing the word. We know that your word does not come back void. And right now, Father, we just ask for an anointing on high, Heavenly Father, as we speak into those things, we call those things on as though they're not. As we speak encouragement to the listeners, Father, we ask, Heavenly Father, Lord, that you would just allow us to be mindful, to keep our mind focused, Heavenly Father, on where our help comes from, and we know it's your goodness. Lord, Father, we ask that you would use the minister that's going to share a word from us with us this evening. Lord, that you would just give her the words that she would be able to speak and that we might be able to apply it to our hearts. Father, we ask that all those that come on, Heavenly Father, Lord, would be a blessing, Heavenly Father, to whatever's going to take place this evening. We are expecting great things to take place, Father. We just give you all the honor, the glory, and the praise. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen, amen, amen. I like to say that sometimes we do have a background feedback, and it's a matter of setting the mic in a certain position so that we don't get that feedback. So if you do, I don't know if you get it on your end, but if you get a feedback, that is what's happening. The mics are piled up a little bit too high, or they may be too close to whatever the signal is going out, and so therefore we get a feedback. We're going to open up our mics right now to Minister Hammond from out of New York, and she is going to share with us. Her title this evening is You Have the Power. You Have the Power. So we are going to turn it over to her right now, and we are going to just be mindful, and we're going to share whatever God has laid on our hearts as she opens up the mic. Amen. Minister Hammond, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. God bless you. God bless everyone.
God bless you. God bless you. We do thank you for coming on each and every month to share a word with us. We
praise
do
God.
Thank you for just being able to hear what God has laid on your heart. And it's just always good when we're able to hear others from other cities, states, or wherever the case may be. It's always good to be able to hear what the Lord has laid on their heart. So right now, we're coming from out of New York. Coming from out of New York, and we're going to turn the mic on over to her. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. God bless you.
Amen. God bless you. God bless you, everyone, and I'm glad to be on one more time. Tonight, we're coming out of Ezekiel 37, 1 through 10. And it's a familiar book and word. We've all know about the vision of dry bones. And my topic tonight is prophesy and live. You have the power. Praise God. So with that, we're going to do it a little bit different. I pray that you all have your Bibles, and I'm coming from the Amplified Bible tonight. And I'm going to be reading from verse 1 through 8 first. It's going to be from 1 through 10, but I'm going to read 1 through 8. And then we're going to go back, and then we're going to, you know, or as we go, we're going to talk about it. We're going to talk a little bit about it. So with that said, Ezekiel, he was one of the prophets from the Old Testament. And the word of God is this, Ezekiel 37 and 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. And he caused me to pass round about among them. And behold, there were very many human bones in the open valley or plain. And behold, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord, you know. And he said again, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath and spirit to enter you, and you shall live. And we're going to go to 6. And I will lay sinew upon you and bring up flesh upon you and cover you with skin. And I will put breath and spirit in you, and you, dry bones, shall live. And you shall know, understand, and realize that I am the Lord, the sovereign ruler, who calls forth loyalty and obedient service. So I prophesy, this is Ezekiel now, so I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a thundering noise, and behold, a shaking and a trembling and a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. Mm. And I looked, and behold, there were sinew upon the bones, and flesh came upon them, and skin covered them over, but there was no breath or spirit in them. I'm going to stop right there. And we're going to talk about this. And we're going to talk about how, you know, from a human perspective, being in a valley of dry bones, that's a dead situation. That's a dead condition. It's impossible to even conceive being in such a dry and desert place. But with decay, and the bones and the sinews, there's no bone. The bones are there, but there's no sinew, no flesh. All the parts are scattered, scattered around. But if you can say with me, but God can do the impossible. And what seems humanly impossible, God will turn it around for a supernatural event, for a supernatural possibility, for a supernatural possible thing. And for Ezekiel, amen. And for Ezekiel, God told him to prophesy, letting him know it's in your, the power is in your words. He said, prophesy to these dry bones. He said, so what happened with Ezekiel? He got the go-ahead. He got the go-ahead from God. He got the instruction from God. And we know for best results, follow instruction. Just like how we read on a label, for best results, follow instruction. Amen?
Amen.
Amen, amen. So Ezekiel did just that. He followed the instructions, just as it was said to him. And what seemed impossible started coming together. The rattling or shaking came together. Whether it, and I want to say this, you know, sometimes in our lives we can have dry bones. Dry bones in ministry. Dead issues. Dead relationships. Issues in families and marriages. Sometimes that can happen. But with God, all things is possible. He can make the brokenness and the discord come together. God is telling us we have that power to call those things that are not as though they are. We have that power. The power is in the Word of God. God says for us to command you. He says, command you me. That's what God says. He said, command you me. Now, that doesn't mean that we can tell God to do this or do that. No, he's not saying that. What he's saying is, it's in my word. Command my word with thanksgiving, and I will honor it. Amen? Command my word. And my word that has gone out of your mouth, I hear it, and I will do quickly. His word. That's why it's so important for us to read his word. When we pray, we need to pray God's word. We shouldn't just pray just haphazardly or just pray anything. Pray his word. His word is. His word is above. He puts his word above himself. It says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but not my word. So that's what God is telling us, to go in and use his word in any situation. And what is dead or seemingly dead will come alive. Amen?
Amen.
Any questions? Any questions? Amen. To God be the glory.
Amen.
So the power is in our in what we speak out. And just like Ezekiel, he did what the Lord told him to do. In verse 4, it says, and it says, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O ye dry bones, hear the word. You hear what I'm saying? Hear the word of the Lord. To God be the glory. So that means that takes care of any sickness, any kind of disease, anything. It says in his word, by his stripes we are healed. Speak that word. Then he said. Then it says in his word, he says, when that individual is near death, speak that word, that they shall not die but live and declare the work of the Lord. If your finances is jammed up, what you do is you go to the word and you say, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. Honey, that backs up the enemy and that activates God to even move even more because he hears his word. Amen? Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And then it says in Psalms 37 and 19, I shall not. And see, when I read God's word and when I need to use God's word, I always make it personal. It's either personal for me or personal for that individual. So Psalms 37 and 19 says, it says, they, but I say, I shall not be ashamed in the evil time. And in the days of famine, I shall be satisfied. In the days of famine, I shall be satisfied. That means God's going to, he's got my back. All I got to do is pray. God's got my back because his word says so. Amen?
Amen.
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 And that's what God did in the valley. There was a supernatural rattling, shaking, rattling, and rolling going on. The condition started coming together. The brokenness started coming together. The Lord didn't even stop there. He didn't stop. Excuse me, I lost my. He didn't stop there. Just bear with me. Okay, got it back. Just bear with me. The Lord didn't stop there. Hallelujah. He didn't stop there. He told him to speak in verse 8. He said, and I looked, and behold, there were sinew upon the bones. Listen, when sinew means It's they're tough fibrous tissues, joining muscle to bone, tendon, muscles. It gives strength. It gives the framework. That's what sinew do. See, it was just not the dry bones coming together, but it had to. The insides had to be supernaturally recreated. Amen. The insides had to be supernaturally recreated. See, when God, when the Lord starts a thing, when he starts putting things back together from the inside out, hallelujah, he makes it, he does an excellent job, an excellent thing. Where our, look, for us, where our insides over the years have been, how can I say this? Where we lost hope, where people have came against us, and it just tore our insides up. It almost like spills your guts out. But look what God can do. He can He's a magnificent God. He can reconstruct. He recreates from the inside out. So Ezekiel, he followed instructions, and he prophesied it, God's word, into the bones. Anybody want to say anything? Okay, into the bones. But you know what? It just wasn't finished there. No, it wasn't. And as we read here in verse 9, it says this, "Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath and spirit, son of man, and say to the breath and spirit, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath and spirit, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. So I prophesied." There's that instruction, and there he's following the instruction. He said, so I prophesied it as he commanded me, and the breath and the spirit came into the bones, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceedingly great host. Now, the King James Version, It says it like this. King James says it like this. Amen. He says it like this. Verse 10. So I prophesied it as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. Let me tell you something. It's not just an individual. It's just not us going through. It's the body. The body goes through. Listen, let me just say this. These verses to me, and I know it seemed like I'm almost finished. Look at me. These verses to me just showed me as an individual that I have the power, that we have the power, and that those that was in that valley, look, God was showing these are the casualties of war. We can't leave the casualties of war outside and not go and try to rescue them and not speak God's word and not heal them, not encourage them. We have to do that because, you know, we have to revive. That's what God called us to do, revive people. Revive those loved ones. Revive those friends. Revive our church family. Revive.
Amen.
Let me tell you something. Those dead, those casualties of war have dead bones, dead lives, dead dreams, dead hope in family, in relationship, in marriages. We got to go get them. Even there are even some that have a dead relationship with God.
Amen.
But we have to get them too. We have to, it's like a speak those things that are not as though they are, shake, rattle, and roll. We gotta shake, rattle, and roll, and go out and bring them in and encourage. But God can take every loss and dead thing, and he can turn it, everything that's naturally eroded, and he can take it and turn it around and make it into a supernatural revival, a supernatural event, a supernatural great revival.
Amen.
So this is what I'm saying. We're to prophesy and live.
Amen.
We have the power. And my subtitle, as I read down and I kept reading down, was this: we shall be resurrected.
Amen.
We shall be resurrected in the land of the living.
Amen.
All right.
Amen.
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 And I know I should have did it a little slower, but I'm done. We can talk about this. Amen.
Praise God. Praise God.
Amen.
Thank you.
Any questions? Anybody?
You said, I don't know if you, I always wonder if anybody can hear me, but
yes,
but
I can hear you.
When you talk about the dead bone and speaking life into the bone. So in spite of what you see, and we as people of faith are supposed to not be moved by the world, be moved by your circumstance, what you see before you. Mm. We're supposed to be, we're spirit beings, and supposed to see the world and see ourselves the way the Lord sees us. So in spite of what you see, in spite of the hurdle that the enemy may put before you, in spite of the blinders he may put in front of you, in spite of distractions he puts in front of you, we're supposed to keep our eyes on the prize, on the things of God. And we're supposed to speak life to ourselves and to our situations. We're supposed to be the ones in the world, because folks are watching us, that we show them how to operate. And using the name of Jesus gives us the power to do those things and to react the way the Lord would have us to react. We're supposed to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and not let any corrupt word come out of our mouth.
Oh, that's good.
Life to situations. No corrupt words, not speaking negative, not speaking death. In spite of what you see, God's word says that we should, that we are to not look at what we see.
Amen.
But believe for what he sees.
Amen.
Believe for what he knows. In spite of what you see, to know that it's here. So even though I may not see the baby, I'm preparing for the baby nonetheless.
All right, that's good right there. That's good.
I'm preparing for the baby nonetheless. I don't see the baby, I don't feel the baby kick, but I know the baby's coming because God said he's coming. So I'm going to prepare for the baby, and I'm going to act as if the baby is here. So I'm going to, in spite of what I see, in spite of what I feel, I'm still, my reaction is still going to be what the Lord has for me. Amen.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, amen. That's so true. Amen. That was a lot. Amen. Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
That's anyone else? Mm-hmm. Anyone else have a testimony or anything? You know, because just like our sister Suzanne said, no matter how you feel, no matter what it looks like, you know, that was a dead situation that Ezekiel, God showed him that to let him know, especially when he said, can these bones live? Isn't that something? God already knows that. But he's asking the man of God, can these bones live? And what did he say? He says, you know, Lord, that they can. But he was trying to let him know that as you speak it, know that regardless of what it looks like, regardless of if your marriage is broken up, especially if God put it together, let no man put asunder. If God put you together, then you're to stay together. He that prays together stays together. And we have to pray into those situations and speak life. And that's what God wants us to do, speak life. And not just on the other side. He wants us to have this life here. And something that Sister Suzanne said, see, we have to speak that into the lives of people, different ones, into our own lives as well. We're the recipient, but then we have to give it out too.
Amen.
You know?
Amen.
Praise God. I thank God for this this word, because it encouraged me when He says, "We shall be ready." And this is a beautiful time in this season.
Amen.
Jesus went to the cross. He died and was resurrected. And when he walked this earth, look at that. Lazarus was in the grave, and God resurrected him and told him, loose that man out of his grave clothes. So that's what we got to loose ourselves out of the grave clothes. God didn't call us to death. He called us to life.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. And you're right, this is a wonderful time for that as we go into the resurrection season to remember that God gave life, that He gave life. And though although they kept calling Jesus dead, like in Romans it tells us, calling the things that are not as though they were.
Mm-hmm.
So He wasn't dead.
Amen.
He was still there. And we need to understand that Jesus is resurrected, and Jesus has given us the power in His name to use His name and to understand the power of the blood, but to use His name when we speak life to situations, when we speak in spite of what you've been through, in spite of what the enemy says, in spite of what the world says, in spite of what you feel like, praise God.
Amen. Amen. Anyone else? Praise God. That was good. Go ahead. Go ahead, brother.
Have you ever thought about how, you know, when we're in our own little world or our own mess, sometimes God will tell us, speak to our situation. You know, He's already put in us what we need to have on this earth. And we have to sometime understand that we have the power and the authority to speak for our situation. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times we don't use that authority that He's already given us.
Yeah.
So sometimes, you know, and what this Ezekiel 37 is expressing, how this is my version of it, is how He is telling us to speak to our situation when we are confronted by the enemy. We don't have to take it. We can speak to our situation and change it, you know, because we have the authority and the power already.
Yes.
So a lot of times we don't understand, if we're kingdom kids or kingdom people, then we should live by that power and authority that God has already given us.
Amen. That's so true, and I want to piggyback off that, because the Word of God says He's called us to be more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. We're more than conquerors, and you're right. We have the authority, and we need to use that. You know, God didn't call us to after we done drank the milk and now we're eating the meat. He didn't call us to back up and be a punk. Lord, forgive me for saying it like that, but I'm going to come right where it is. He didn't call us to back up on the devil. He called us to move ahead and move forward in our whole armor of God, with our whole armor on, and go in and pursue and attack. Because you know what? The devil ain't taking no prisoners, and he's never letting up. Because what he wants to do, he wants to show God up through his people. Because he can't get to God directly, but he'll try through his people. So we have to stand flat foot, uncompromised, and take the enemy head off. I remember a long time ago, the Lord told me, he says, Edna, when you see the enemy raise his head, I don't want you to play with him. He said, cut his head off at the head, the neck. Cut him off. See? And we're at a time now that all this shucking and jiving that the body of Christ is doing or whatever, I'm praying for all of us because we all have our cross to bear. But you know what? It's in the secret place. It's in that time when we spend with God. It's in that relationship. It's in that place where we can get the fortitude and the strength to face another day, to go out, to witness, to conquer, and to be victorious. Because you remember now, at the end of the book, we win. We win. But it's
Amen.
Just getting there.
Amen. Amen.
It's
Hallelujah.
Just getting there. Praise God.
Hallelujah. Another thing we have to remember, that from the beginning, when God created man, he created us in his image.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
He put us in the garden, and he told us to subdue the earth.
That's
what
he said.
He gave us authority then. Mm-hmm. And all through the Bible, he has been telling us and giving us direction. And we fail because we let Satan get in the way.
Yeah.
And when Christ came, Christ had to come to demonstrate to us. And
mm-hmm.
that's when we begin to walk back in that authority.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're living in a chaotic world today.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, a lot of us have let the enemy slip right in. But, you know,
mm-hmm.
the kingdom kids are standing tall. But we have to remember that when we read our scripture, we have to read it with power and authority and use that power and authority when we
mm-hmm.
go out into the marketplace. A lot of times
mm-hmm.
we get intimidated and, you know, we can't go out there like that because he told us to have a new earth and we have to take that and walk with it. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Yes, yes, yes. Oh, brother.
And it's something else, too, and we have to be so, because the devil, he's so insidious. You know, he's so cunning. You know, we have to watch out for these distractions. Sister Suzanne talked about that, the distractions. That's how he gets us, too. And our weakness, whatever. The Lord told me a while back, you know, when I was in prayer, he said, Edna, the enemy is using people's appetites to lure them away, their appetites. So whatever your appetite is that you feel like you don't have no control over, that's what the enemy uses to put in your face. But through the power and the prayer, through the power, the word of God, we can subdue that.
Amen.
And conquer it.
Amen. I was listening to the radio today, and there was a speaker that was talking about, you know, it's human beings that don't believe that God, that Jesus is real. The enemy knows. The enemy knows that Jesus is real. The enemy knows. The power, and he said the devil. He just went on and said the devil. Satan knows that Jesus is real, and that's why he doesn't want us to use the name. And that's why, you know, in the marketplace, in public, we're not supposed to use the name of Jesus. He doesn't want to hear that, so he's mm-hmm. made it so it's not politically correct,
right?
And so forth. And but we as Christians, when we stop doing that and we start tiptoeing around it too, we're also playing into that. We have to remember the source of that foolishness.
Mm-hmm.
And the source is the enemy. He doesn't want anybody using the name of Jesus because he knows the power that's in the blood and in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
So we have to remember that we are armed and ready, and we have, and the Lord has more than equipped us to
Amen.
Be able to survive on this side of heaven.
Amen. 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 To God be the glory. Mm-hmm. So this, you know, these few verses here, and the whole chapter actually, but these few verses here just jumped out, and like we're talking about the resurrection. This is the resurrection season. How poignant is this? This is resurrection right here. What was dead is now alive. And he said, an exceedingly great host, an exceedingly great army. My God. And that's where God wants us, how God wants us to be. You know, on God, for God. Amen.
Amen.
And you know another thing is speaking of resurrection Sunday that's coming up.
Yes.
You know, a lot of us, we have to really understand what happened and what took place, because see the enemy is steady pushing that rabbit.
Yes.
I don't know how the rabbit got involved in the resurrection Sunday, but you know, even in I work in a church.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the church I attend, but I work in a church, and the rabbit is all up in there. And, you know, if we're God's people, we have to be truthful about, you know, things. You know, even to the point where we talking about the birth of Christ, you know,
mm-hmm.
a lot of times that's not told right, because, see, when you read some and search the scriptures, you'll find out that when the wise men came, they when they seen Christ, Christ was a lad, and that's why, you know,
right.
when the king issued mm-hmm. a decree to go out and kill, he set a limit on the age, and it was from baby to two, because he didn't know how long it was going to take those wise men get to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
See, so with the bunny and the birth of Christ and all that, and how we still look at the nativity scene, you know, we have to come correct if we're going to teach the word.
Mm-hmm.
We have to come correct, because see, the rabbit has no business in the resurrection.
Amen. That's so true.
So that's just another example of how we as Christians have allowed the world to come into the church and try to pacify everybody, you know, try to dilute and soften word and the truth so that people will receive it. So
yeah.
If I bring in the pagan idea of eggs and fertility, and rabbit as a symbol of fertility and everything, it's spring. Well, then it goes along with that spring, I can't remember, the spring festival, and the spring festival happens around Easter. Well, let's put it all together, and that'll make it, and we'll make it, call it Christmas. You know?
Yeah.
So and the same thing with Christmas, with Santa Claus and the, you know, and everything that we do at Christmas time, to try to appease the world. And we have to separate that. Jesus' resurrection has nothing to do with the Easter bonnet or the Easter
That's
bunny.
That's right.
Or the basket and the eggs. It has nothing to do with that. And we need to begin to teach our children the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And even challenge our leaders to speak the truth, because if you're speaking from the pulpit of a word that is only there to satisfy, to make people feel good so they'll keep coming back,
wow.
and are not so up, so you're not teaching them the truth.
Wow.
And if we're doing the same thing, sitting there and not saying anything, then we're not doing the truth. If you know the truth, you're accountable for speaking the truth.
That's
you're
right.
You're accountable for speaking the truth. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be left behind, okay?
Amen.
I don't want to be left behind, mm-hmm. and I want my children and those that, you know, come after me to know the truth. There's no the jelly buddies and jelly bellies and jelly bunnies and all of that foolishness have nothing to do with Jesus Christ. You don't see a bunny at the foot of the cross.
Mm-hmm.
It's the cross. It's the cross. It's the blood. It's about the crucifixion, the
mm-hmm.
sacrifice. The lamb, the final, the last lamb to be sacrificed.
And you know, that's the truth, what you're just saying. And we have to, you know, even in our witness, we're not here to satisfy the flesh. We're here to tell the truth and let them know about Christ. So when we go out and we talk or we share the scriptures with people, we have to come truthful, even though they may not like what they hear, but it's the truth, you know. So, when my kids came of age of understanding, my wife and I, we let them know right away, you know, anything bought, we buy it. It ain't Santa Claus coming down no chimney or nothing.
Amen.
We told them from the beginning. And it's all in the churches, and it's breeding, and people are not stopping it. It's not being stopped, and you have to show the scriptures. That's what I do when I'm confronted with a situation like that, and I, you know, bring the word in so they know. And even if they don't like me or whatever, hey, this is the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. To God be the glory. Amen. Okay. We're a little silent here, but this was, I enjoyed the conversation. Praise God. Because I'm getting a lot out of what those that are sharing is saying to us and saying to everyone that's listening, that we have to stand uncompromised. We have to not only stand uncompromised, but speak that word of life. And Jesus, what he did for us, when I think about it, when I think about the cross, when I think about when the scripture says he was bruised, you know what? That to me right there, that word bruise is so light to me. Because what they did, they whipped him unrecognizable. As they whipped him, his skin was torn off. His skin, down to the white part, down. And he did that for us. For all of us. And I was reading the other day where it talked about how Jesus came for the sin of the world. You know, so many times people say this sin and that sin, but he only came for one sin. Sin is sin. One sin. That doesn't matter if it falls under adultery or lying or cheating or backbiting or hating your neighbor or anything else. It's one sin, and that's what he did. He sacrificed his life for us, for each and every sin. Praise God. My heart, you know, when I think about what Jesus did for me, how can I not serve him? That's the least I could do. Because he's done so much. Amen.
When you look at what Christ did.
Yes.
He came down.
Mm-hmm.
He put on the earth suit.
Yes, he did.
And he lived to die.
Yes, he did.
I mean, he didn't look back. He didn't turn around. He didn't change his mind.
No,
he came in and did what God told him to do.
Mm-hmm.
He lived to die.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Mm-hmm. And that's another thing, too. Anything that you go through in this life, Jesus he's gone through it. You know, that's why we're to go to Christ and ask him to help us. Because, even in that garden, his humanness felt the anxiety of the cross, basically of the cross. But then he succumbed to, Father, not my will, but your will. And there's so many times in our lives that we might want to, you know, run away. Jesus says, if you just surrender yourself. Surrender yourself. the word said that angels came and ministered to him. They ministered to him. So God is letting us know that no matter what we go through, no matter what challenges that we face, if we would just stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, he'll rescue us. He'll rescue us. And I can say that personally. He will rescue you.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Brother John, I'm done.
Amen. We're never done.
Oh, praise
God.
Thank you for correcting me. Mm-hmm. Yes, brother, thank you.
This is lifelong.
Yes, it is.
It's lifelong. It goes on and on and on. I just decided I wanted to just, to sit back and just to be fed, by all of you. And I have been truly, my soul has been truly blessed just listening, to each and one of you. I think that was Atlanta that jumped in also, Minister Robinson. But nevertheless, it's just good. It does not make a difference where we come from.
Yes.
God, we all have a testimony. We all have a word from the Lord. And that's what it's all about. It's all about sharing what God has done, how he's done it through our lives. Because we all have a testimony. We all have a testimony. God has embedded, knowledge in each, our knowledge, wisdom in all of us. In all of us, through the word of God. Through the word of God. I was looking at that, I was just, and everybody's just basically said, what was on my mind, the thing that caught me, can these dry bones live?
Yes.
That was the question. That was a question to humanity. Can these dry bones live? And when the question goes out to humanity, in the mindset of humanity, no, they can't live. So everything has to be reverted to God. That's what I liked about that scripture, just that piece alone. That was a question. The things that we see, the things that we go through in life, we question. And when we question it, we have to honestly say, if it's not humanly measurable, we're going to say, no, it can't be done.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when everything turns over to God. God comes in. God takes place. He begins to start to do a new thing just to show us that, yes, these bones can live. Yes, it can be prophesied. And so when I was looking at that and just thinking about that, the breath that we breathe out into life, and that is the Spirit of God that's within us.
Mm-hmm.
The breath that we breathe out into life. Because when we look at it during that time, that was during the restoration of Israel.
Amen.
That was what was happening during that time, the restoration of Israel. And then it was referred to the earth and what God can do now. And you have a lot of people looking and saying, look at the conditions of the world that we live in now.
Mm-hmm.
When we look at it, no, we can't even imagine how it's going to get better.
Mm-hmm.
But when we turn on, when God steps in, it's totally different.
Amen.
It's totally different. All these folks that are walking around, that don't know Christ, that don't believe in the Word of God, that don't believe that God is still creating miracles, listen, that's where God comes in and God puts life into them.
Amen.
Because
Amen.
Of something that happens in their life. So we have a lot of brothers and sisters who are going to be turning their life over, changing their life. We haven't seen nothing yet.
Amen.
We haven't seen nothing yet. And that's what God has us do. Our purpose is to speak life into those things that are dead.
Mm-hmm.
Those people that know him. Those people that feel that life can't go on.
Amen.
Those people who are struggling from family situations. Those people who feel, that's it. That's it. I don't even want to live anymore. And that's what God has us. We don't know who's listening out there. Somebody could be on the brink of suicide.
My God.
And you're speaking into their life. You're bringing hope into their life. You know, and letting them know, yes, God can breathe on you and you can live. Yes, those situations that you're going through, no, they're not dead.
Amen.
Because God can do anything. God can do anything. He can do anything. Nothing is impossible with God. And that's what this is all about. Just reminding those who have lost hope, those who have taken their eyes off of what God can do, what God has done. You know, and that's what it's all about. Just to remind. Just to remind. We look at Israel. We think about Israel. He had to remind them of who. Listen, they had to go through a situation themselves. So all that's what we do. We just remind people if they don't know, and if they know, and if they don't know, then that's when we introduce the gospel to them. We introduce the word of God with them. Because when we speak the word of God, and when I say we, I'm talking about the body of Christ. When we speak the word of God into anything, let me tell you something. I expect a change. I expect something to happen. And you know what? When we speak into that, when we speak the word into that person or those people, let me tell you something. We might not see it right then and there, but God has someone in Atlanta to speak into their life when they visit Atlanta. God has someone to speak into their life when they visit New York. And all of a sudden they happen to run into a Minister Robinson. They run into a Minister Haman. They run into a doctor, you know, a doctor Quay. They run into someone that God has placed there just so that he can speak to their lives through us. And that's what I love about it. That's what I love about it.
Anytime.
What are you going to say?
Elder Tom.
Yes, go ahead, brother.
Yes, sir.
You know how the Sister Edna read about the bones, how God spoke to him and told him, can these bones come together?
Mm-hmm.
And God breathed on him. And you see how the tendons and everything and all the structure of the body begin to come together?
Yeah.
And then God breathed life into it. To me, that's how the body of Christ has to come together. You see how everything starts molding and shaping and getting together?
That's
we have so many different titles on our churches.
That's good.
But yet we all reaching for Christ. See, and what we have to overlook those titles and come together as one, just as in the book of Ezekiel. And God will breathe on us and we'll become a strong army. See, and that's where we have to look at it, see. You know, and so when he said, can these bones live? All the churches that are throughout this America, we have to, you know, he's already breathed through the Holy Spirit. So now we have to come together and march as an army, you know.
That's
sort of
good
like
word,
a revelation. Yeah. You know.
That's a good word.
Amen.
That's good right there, brother. That's good right there.
That was timely. You
saying it, brother. That's good.
And for those of you that's listening out there by internet, we pray, you know, that God has just blessed you through just our discussion. We pray that God has blessed you in one way, that there was something that was said to give you encouragement, because that's what it's all about. We're here to encourage. Amen? We are here to encourage. God uses each and every one of us to encourage each other, even you who are listening out there. So we do thank you for tuning in. Minister Haman, we do appreciate the word that you brought forth.
Praise God.
Do thank you for that. We do. And we just pray that we continue just to unite, you know, and just come together just to talk about the word of God. Amen?
Yes.
To
As
talk
a body.
About the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We are out of time
you
know, right now. Minister Haman, you want to pray us out And remember, we love you, but God loves you most. Amen.
Father God, in Jesus, Father God, in Jesus' name, we thank you for this night. We thank you for the coming together for your word tonight, dear God. We thank you for each and every listener tonight, dear God. Hallelujah. As you've given us the word, dear God, let it be a life-transforming, changing thing. And Lord, for each and every one that's hearing it, Lord, let them know that in their situation, they shall live and not die. And declare, this is the work of the Lord. This is the resurrection of the Lord, that we shall be the people that he's called for. In Jesus' name, God bless everyone.
Amen. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Minister Robinson, we're still waiting for you. God bless you.
Amen.
Until next time.
I face the dawn.